Good morning. For those of you that were born or lived at of any age in the 70s, I thought you would enjoy the Flower Power logo there. And you know, yesterday we had our ladies benefit. I call it a benefit. We showed respect and honor to the ladies by providing breakfast to them and giving back to them for all the things that the ladies do in our life that are both seen and unseen, those that teach class and do other things, or just those that support their husbands as they do anything, or those that of any capacity help out. And so we want to thank those ladies yesterday and again today. But our theme for the decorations was sunflowers. And when I was first told that it was sunflowers, my thought is, of all the flowers in the world, sunflowers. And my first thought was, of all the sunflowers in the world, personally, the ugliest of flowers in my thought. I thought, they're just yellow, and yellow is not my favorite color. So I'm like, of all flowers, not roses, not tulips, not any other of the beautiful flowers. But as I begin to do my studying for the speech I was giving, the ugliest of flowers became beautiful to me. And as I learned some of the things about the sunflower, I began to look at it in a whole different light. And even though it may not be as aesthetically pleasing as a rose or a tulip may be, to me, I've learned to love the sunflower. I have no idea why a butterfly is called a butterfly. I have no idea why many of the things we call are the titles that they have. But it's obvious to me, the very first thing you think of when you say sunflower is the reason for its name is because it looks like the sun. Of course, it has a dark center, which the sun really doesn't have, but it appears to have the same appearance as the sun. And as I was beginning my study and developing a speech for yesterday's breakfast, it led me to think how we are to look like Jesus. And how the sunflower looks like Christ, and likewise we, not physically but spiritually, are meant to imitate the life of Christ so that people, when they see us, see Christ in us. When I say sunflower, you immediately know what I'm talking about. Likewise, when we say that we are Christians or Christ-like, we should also, when we say that or people hear that, they should think of me. And they should think of you. There was actually a sermon done by a minister somewhere that I was watching clips of, and he referenced the sunflower, and he said, just like we call it the sunflower because it looks like the sun, likewise, we are to look like Christ, so maybe we should call ourselves sun people. After all, this was the plan of God from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26, he said, "Then God said, let us make man," or people, rather, you know, "in our image," mankind, "in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And then in the next verse, 27, it says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." From the very beginning, before he even created the foundations of the earth, his goal was to create people and make a creation that mimicked and imitated him spiritually. Of course, we know that through man's own desire, we fell into sin and darkness took over. But we know that God never abandoned his plans to make a world full of people who are loving, kind, pure, gentle, courageous, and as giving as Jesus was. He never gave up on his plan. That even though we strayed from his likeness, he never gave up a plan to turn us back into people that was like he created us to be, that was like him. In Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, he would go on to say, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Likewise, if we look at John 13 and verse 15, he says, "For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." And he goes on and on. There are numerous scriptures. There's another one we can look at, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, in which he says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." He would go on to tell the Thessalonica church, the church over in the Thessalonians, he would tell them that they were worthy of being imitated. Because they were doing so well, he said, "You are worthy of imitation." Christ and God never gave up on the desire and the successfulness of making us be spiritually imitators of him. So how can we become more like Christ so that we look more like him? How can we grow into, as one minister said, son people? Well, as I learned from my studies for yesterday's speech, we can take our lessons from the sunflower. Because the sunflower, as I mentioned yesterday, knows where the sun rises and where the sun sets, and knows how to make itself get to where it needs to be. Sunflowers face the east in the morning, waiting for the sun. And then as the sun rises during the day, their stems move the flower so that throughout the day, they're always facing, if not exactly, then very, very close to the sun. And they follow the sun all throughout the day and until it sets. And when the sun sets in the west, they spend the entire night moving their face slowly back to the east again. Because they know that's where the sun always rises. So they move themselves in anticipation of what they expect to be there in the morning. You remember how the wise men found Jesus? In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' Likewise, at the end of his physical life," in Matthew 24 and verse 27, Christ would tell them how the expectation of where to find him again. And he said, "For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." The wise men knew where to find him because they knew what to expect. Likewise, at the end of his life, he told the disciples and also by default told us as well through the inspired word, just where to find Christ. We have example all throughout the text of who Christ is, what he looks like, and where he is. I find it interesting that if you look at it in the physical sense, it was never in the west that he was found. It was always in the east, in the place of the physical sun's rising. Sadly, it seems that sometimes the sunflower is more prepared for the rising of the physical sun and knows more on where to find the physical sun than maybe we do, spiritually speaking of the Son of God. In Isaiah 45, 5 through 6, we are told, "I am the Lord and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other." We spend so much of our spiritual lives looking for something, looking for someone. And God has told us through the book of Isaiah that there is no other. That we don't have to look for something. We don't have to look for someone because God has already placed spiritually in the east someone for us to rise up and follow all throughout the day. Isn't that how God intended his clockwork to be from the rising of the sun to its setting, giving us a vivid picture of how we should live? When we wake up in the morning, just like the sunflower, the very first thing that we should do is search and look for where Jesus is, knowing and expecting where he should be, where he is. Our thoughts should be on the Lord. And as we find him, as the day continues, our thoughts should never wander far from him. And our actions should follow along with our thoughts. And each night as we put ourselves to bed, we need to position ourselves spiritually again to rise with the Son of God in our hearts and in our minds and in our soul. We should set ourselves on the same schedule as the sunflower does. Because where God is, there I should be also. And the more that the sunflower looks like the sun, the more also we, as we look at God, should mimic and look like him. I almost put it up there, but I didn't because I lost track of time. But have you ever seen those pictures where dogs start looking like they're humans? It's interesting. I love looking at those pictures of dogs that, or other animals that they've been together so long that I don't know if the human starts looking more like the dog or the dog starts looking more like the human. But it's fascinating how that happens. And especially with dogs, not so much with cats because they're so independent, but with dogs, they get to learn their human schedule. There is nothing more satisfying, other than maybe with children, but there's nothing more satisfying to a person than walking in and a dog just running up to you and trying to lick your face and maybe barking at you and the love that a dog has for its owner to be home. Should we not be like that also, to where we start mimicking and looking like Christ? And be excited when we rise up in the morning to find Christ and to be excited for what the day has to bring as we look at God. You know what happens naturally because of the sunflower? Looking at the sun is that if you see a field of sunflowers, you'll notice that because of a central focus, sunflowers stay united in purpose and in position. That's very interesting to me about the flower is its uniformity. A field of sunflowers is amazing to see, and people stop to look at it because every single flower is parallel to the others around it, and they're all facing the same direction. And they're all pointed at the sun. The Bible says in Psalm 133 in verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." Christ, throughout all his ministry, would always talk about us being united together. Paul and Peter and James and so many of the writers of the New Testament letters would talk about us being united together as one, that we are a family, that we are knitted together as brothers and sisters. Paul would even go on to say that we're like a body, with some of us being fingers and some arms and some necks and some feet, and that we're all worked together to form the central spiritual unit of the body. That can't happen if we're not united together. There are diseases out there that are so terrible because they pit the body against itself. They start making to where one side of the body doesn't know where the other side of the body, what the other side of the body is doing. And that You have random spasms with some diseases where you can't even control one side. It just jumps off and does what it wants to do. There's also one I've heard, not as terrible as some others, but restless leg syndrome comes to mind, where your legs randomly kick and do other things. What a terrible way for the body to be pit against itself. But spiritually speaking, we need to make sure we're not riddled with the spiritual disease that pits us against each other, but instead be what pleases God and be pleasing to God by being united together in purpose and in praise. And if we are united together, bonded together as the sunflowers, all individual but all also together facing the same direction, just like they stop for the field of flowers, they will also stop to see us because we're different. One of my favorite comics, a little picture that the song, one of the song leaders at another congregation I was preaching at gave to me once. He laminated it for me, and it had a preacher pointing his finger in the face of the song leader and says, "Next time I preach on giving, don't lead the song as Jesus paid it all." There's another one that where a little boy named Johnny went up to the preacher and said, "One day, when I become famous and rich, I'm going to give you a lot of money." And little Johnny said, "Well, why is that?" You know, and he said, "Little Johnny, that's awfully nice. Why would you do that?" And he said, "Because every Sunday, my dad says, you're the poorest preacher he's ever heard." That's not united together. That's not being one, but being divisive and torn apart. And as the world sees us, do they see us as united or as separated? Because you see, just like there's the sunflower that's united together and that grows together, there's also another kind of sunflower called the wild sunflower. They're often found in such places as highways or in fields of corn and wheat, and they're often labeled as weeds, and farmers and other people spend their entire life trying to get rid of these wild, weeded sunflowers. Now, these sunflowers, they've shown, scientists have been able to prove, that they're just like the others, that they still search for the sun, but never together. One is facing up, and one is facing down, one's facing left, and one is facing right. And a few of them are still off in la-la land, just minding their own business, not even caring what's going on with anybody else. What's interesting about them is not only are they all facing different directions and hardly any of them are facing the sun, but they're also much smaller and weaker than their other sunflower. Does that not sound like some of the spiritual struggles we go through? How many of us are like the wild sunflower, or how many even congregations are like a field of wild sunflowers? They're looking every which way for the sun, but never together. And it causes us to be much smaller and much weaker spiritually than those that are united together. The wild sunflower looks like the real deal. But if we watch its pattern of living, it's easy and almost immediately noticeable the difference. The same is true for Christians. In 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 1, it says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." I need to be what I need to be spiritually because other people are looking at me so they can imitate me as I imitate Christ. Whether I like it or not, whether I want people to or not, someone, somewhere, somehow is going to latch onto me spiritually, looking to me to see what it means to look like Christ. And it's so easy to lead them into being a wild sunflower versus a true sunflower. If no one else, my children are looking to me as an example. One day, hopefully, my grandchildren will look to me as an example. We have children here that are looking at us as examples, and new adults that are, or adults that have come in that are new to the, to Christ, that are looking at us for examples. Do they see wild sunflowers? Or do they see sunflowers that are true and strong and mighty in the Word? Facing the sun helps the sunflowers to grow. And gazing at the sun causes us to be more and more like we should be Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, it says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror of the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." What does this mean? What does it mean whenever he says, for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit? It means that as we develop our lives and we believe and we adhere to the good news, the gospel of Christ, and as we adhere to what he has asked us to do, we become transformed over time and we become servants of him and we become willingly able to look and act like Christ. And that as we do that, the Spirit continues to help us with that, helping to guide us in the right direction if only we are willing. He is making it to where we are more able to look like him. And the more we look at the sun, the more we can become sun people. I found out something new just yesterday evening as I was looking up some different things about the sunflower after the speech and everything. What's interesting as well about the sunflower in a scientific term is that, like I said, they're much the wild sunflowers are much weaker than the others because they don't have the capacity to do this. But with the true sunflower, the stem actually builds cell structures in the darkness that move the head to prepare it to face the east, to look for the light. And then as it moves during today, the other side of the stem builds cells in order to help keep it where it needs to go. So all throughout 360, on the opposite side, it's always building cells to keep it moving, to keep it upright, to keep it going. But as much as it's strong, it's also pliable. Because at night, the stem rests, and it kind of faces down. So as it moves during the morning, as the sun rises, it can stretch its neck up. So that way it can rise above any other plants or flowers or anything that may obstruct its view from the sun. And the sunflower holds numerically more seeds than almost any other flower. One sunflower by itself can hold up to 3,000 seeds. And the reason why they've proven is because of its strong stem that allows it to hold up that many seeds. Almost any other flower, if it had that many seeds, it would weigh it down to the point that it couldn't hold up its head, but not the sunflower. It got me to thinking about the fact that the sunflower is never thinking about itself, but is always thinking about the future generation. It's always building itself up to keep itself strong so that it can hold the seeds for the next generation. Unfortunately, there are so many in the world today. They don't think about the next generation. They only think about what their life is like. But all throughout the text, we have example of where Christ tells us to think about the next generation. And in Titus 2, 1 through 8, he says, "As for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. Teaching is what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. And this is just one scriptural example of many in which he talks about men being the example for younger men and women being the example for younger women. To teach us, for those that are married, to teach us, the woman, what kind of man should you look for if you want to get married? For the woman, what kind of man should you look for? For the man, what kind of woman and how we should raise our children? Because it's been scientifically proven that how I raise my children, more times than not, it's how my children will likewise raise their children. It's hard to break the circle. So why not give them a cycle and a circle that's not wanted to be broken? I am not a Christian just for myself. I am a Christian so that I can set the right example for my daughter and my son and any other children I have in the future, hopefully a little ways off. Any grandchildren that I may have. For anyone here in the congregation, young or old, or no matter where you are spiritually, so that I can be the example for the next generation. Because it's been said before, and it still rings true, the children of today are the church and the body of Christ for tomorrow. What are we leaving them as an example of what it means to be a Christian? What it means to be son people? The bottom line is, we can learn a lot from nature. And specifically, what I once considered to be not an aesthetically pleasing flower, but has now become one of my favorites because of the lessons we can learn from it. God created the world, and he created us to be in his image, like him. So we need to stay mindful of Jesus. And like the sunflower, never get distracted from the purpose and the goal. My question today is, what kind of sunflower are you? Are you the strong, united sunflower looking to the sun? Are you like the wild sunflowers that the farmers and so many others try to get rid of? Because you're looking here, you're looking there, and there's nothing that you're looking directly at, but you're searching for something. You're looking to be like the other sunflowers you've heard about. Today, whatever your need may be, whether you are the sunflower but your stem has weakened and you need the encouragement and you need the other sunflowers to help build you back up, or whether you're a wild sunflower looking to be transformed through Christ into a sun person, into a Christian, whatever your need may be, we are united here today to help you in any way we can, as we stand and sing.